All right, everyone, and welcome to another episode of No Quitters, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. My name is Clem, and as always, I'm joined on the podcast with our boys. We'll go in order. We got Riggs, we got Cons, we got Eddie looking fresh to death with a fresh haircut, went to a barber, disobeyed all the laws in Chicago. No, I'm just busting Eddie's balls. This is the first time he hasn't worn a hat, I think, and everyone was commenting how beautiful his hair looks today. And our boy JJ, how we doing today, fellas?
We're good. Not as good as Eddie Lux, though. But I will share with everyone. I was texting with our friend of the show, Johnny Bananas, and he wanted me to tell Clem to shoot the lock off his wallet and invest in a mic. So apparently, Clem, you sound like shit.
I have a fucking mic too. I don't know what he's talking about.
The first time, normally, when you do the intro, it, like, you hit the limit at the beginning because you're pumped. And then, like, then you're fine after that. Yeah. I'm just glad Connor didn't call him John.
You know, I got tired of you guys chirping me about that, but that is my friend John.
I tried to actually sit back from it because I realize I do always go right into the mic. I try to suck the mic's dick in the beginning, and then Whoa. It usually levels out. Yeah, we got a little kinky here, Connor. Don't worry about it. Connor's also says he's lit. He's lit up drunk. He was drinking with Lars. This is your text message, not mine.
I mean, I made no mention of being lit and or drunk. I just said that, hey, I had done some content with Lars earlier that involved drinking. And, you know, it's not going to be a Christmas episode, but...
Did you actually do content with Large, or did you just, like, FaceTime him and be like, can you look at everything in my apartment and tell me if it's okay? I'll be drinking during this.
No, but you know what I should
do? Do I have enough coffee mugs, Large?
Yeah, Large.
It was actual content, so check out Mind Your Business on Sunday morning.
Nice. I got a Mind Your Business plug. Cons then also, as we were waiting, said he had to go get tea. So we have both sides of Connor. We have the fucking alcoholic, and then we have the fancy pretty boy who needs to drink his tea or espresso at night. Getting into the challenge, we start with the episode.
Is that what we're here to talk about?
Yep. Mediocre challenge recap.
Subpar challenge recap. Phenomenal. It's phenomenal side banters.
So today we start with the Holy Trinity, as Eddie pointed out, by Super Team Knicks, dancing, shaking their asses, fucking having a good time, fucking going down to DJs, baby, shaking your ass, baby. It was beautiful to see. Anissa's out there, fucking the Queen Bee and the three girls in front of them shaking it. It was wonderful to see the Barbie Beast or whatever came back home. We get Bear and Kayla kind of snuggling, all that kind of stuff. I really didn't get much from the beginning of this episode. Was there anything you guys that kind of jumped out at you before we get into the actual challenge?
The worst script acting from the Holy Trinity right off the bat, where they were celebrating and you could tell Jenna like forgot a line and Nani was a little too excited. I was like, this is just the worst. Like, how many takes did this take? Good to see Nani and Anissa like make up. They, you know, she was grinding up on Anissa. So good to see that duo back together.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I like that they have a missile as a prop in front of their house. I don't know. I think that's the first time in challenge history, at least that I can remember. It's nice to have a missile in front of your house. It lets everyone know you mean business.
And that's a legit missile, too. That's not just a prop that they brought in. That's like an old, defunct, you know, or dud of a missile.
That's straight from the Cold War.
Exactly.
They did set the stage for Jordan kind of isolating, running the treadmill alone, like about to lose his mind. So
great,
saw a little of it coming, I guess.
They had great editing from the scene you're talking about, Eddie, where they had like the serious music undertones with Jordan working out, and it went directly to Bananas just chowing down some food by himself. I was like, this is just, that's the editing I want to see.
Yep. Editing was on point as always. We get into the challenge. And we have a little bit of a foam party here. Foam, big old foam pit. You got to go in. You got to track the lights down, all that kind of stuff. First question to my fellas here. How many of you – I figure everyone here has been to a foam party at least some point in their life. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
We had a foam machine in the basement of my frat house, like in the ceiling. We had a snow machine and a foam machine and a smoke machine. So at any point, you could just like have whatever you want. Like, start going.
Just go themes. That's fucking nice.
You know what's crazy?
Wow.
Jack says all these things about me and my life and the way I live and all the, you know, idiosyncrasies about me. And yet here he is with, you know, Van Wilder house in college, just dropping snow at the drop of a hat.
I was in college.
Right. Yeah. He got out of college, Connor. He's been out of college for decades at this point.
And grow up, Peter Pan.
And grow you're up. Murdering people on the low. There's a lot of shit here that we did not.
Before we started recording, you were bragging about how strangers are forced to play in foursomes with you now, thanks to Governor Murphy.
No, I wasn't bragging about that. I was just saying how that is now the rule. I do not like playing with strangers.
The rule is you have to play with me.
I wish people could have seen Connor's face. You're like, I was in college. He's like, fuck, you're right.
Especially right after you made the Van Wilder mark. It was just couldn't have been more ironic.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
You can see him trying to swallow the words back.
Whatever. Shut up.
I will. So, wait, Eddie, I'm thinking you're not – you never did a phone party. It kind of seemed like you were on the fence there.
I actually somehow never. That was – I don't know. I like I said, I'm – couple years younger, but
yeah.
My year is when they dropped that you can get STDs from it. Remember that? I don't know if that was common knowledge beforehand. So that was like when it dropped, and it kind of people stayed away from foam after that. Kind of
great scare tactic. That's a great scare tactic.
Yeah. I only went to them when we were in spring break. We didn't have foam parties in college, like locally and stuff like that. But every year we hit Jamaica 3 years in a row. We fell in love with it the first time and said, why the fuck are we going to change? All the potheads were happy. All the drinkers were happy, all that kind of stuff. And we'd have a foam party, I think twice a vacation. And every single time you're just wiping it from your eyes. It's impossible to get out of your eyes unless you have someone with clean hands do it. So I was actually feeling bad for these people. I can't even smell a pina colada because that was the smell of the foam. I get like PTSD from the burning of my eyes.
Sienna spring break.
College Clem
quite
is
a crew.
College Clem is top one person I want to meet in my life.
He was so much cooler than me, man. He was the anchor for our drinking. So we did like the boat races. It was College Olympics. That was the other thing. And he did like drinking races. And I was the anchor. I was the big guy. And I'd have to do like two full cups, put them on the head. And I was fucking like, I was a savage back in the day. I was so proud of myself. And that guy is so completely
dead. Yeah,
I was like Connor and never grew up.
No, he's the guy from Beer Fest.
No, yeah, I'm telling you. Landfill. Yeah. Clem, I'm telling you, I know that guy. He's somewhere inside of you right now. He just needs the right scenario to come out.
Yeah, a divorce.
Clem went to Vegas and fell asleep.
Divorce. That's what it is. Divorce and cocaine.
Listen, I'm not saying what the parameters of that scenario is. I'm just saying I know that guy still exists inside of that animal of you.
All right, I'm going to put this on the podcast because it's public. Connor, do not murder my wife and children because that is not an – I do want to drink and live that life again. I don't want you to kill people I love to get back to that life.
I think your wife, she is a very lovely lady. Your daughter, Sienna, is a cute – very cute. I mean, those eyes, unbelievable. And
oh,
your
my
son.
God. Now it's getting sexual.
No, it's God. Not. Don't say that. That's terrible. God. Why would you say that? It's not even a little bit. Stop.
Clem, what would
Clem
you give?
Clem has a nice family. I
what would you
do
give?
Anything.
Clem, what would you give after all this like quarantine to just have a bachelor party so you could go there and go to sleep? Yeah. Just go like what I would give for a weekend of sleep in Atlantic City at like the Borgata.
When you were saying that, I thought you meant like, you know, go out a party. And I was like, am I getting a time machine? No. Yeah. Just give me like a fucking comfortable bed and four walls, like a crack house. Just put fucking, you know, sheets over the window. So I'm not an ounce of like it's in 100%.
Give me a weekend, like someone's bachelor party at the Borgata or something where I could just drive there.
I have my brothers in August in Nashville, and I've already like scouted out what bed I'm sleeping in.
Gotcha. That's when you start pairing off in the bachelor parties with the people that have kids and the people who don't. And the people that have kids, they miss the breakfast. They're kind of strolling in for lunch, but they're fucking fresh as a daisy once they're out there. But yeah, it's definitely.
I was in Vegas Super Bowl weekend, and someone ended up calling some entertainment that like maybe they'll do more if you pay for it, whatever. I see the direction this is going, and I know most of these guys don't realize the direction it's going. They don't realize like when you say when like the question goes, hey, who wants one? If you say like, yeah, I want one, let's just say hamburgers. Yeah, I want to. You got to eat your burger because your burger costs $400 to get there. So I see the direction this is going. Whenever I'm in this situation, like a bachelor party, I carry like a travel pack of Advil PM in my wallet, and I'll just pop them and be like, I gotta go to bed now. I got no choice, guys. Sorry.
Poison yourself. I love it.
The toothpaste sat in a tube. Gotta go.
I already brushed my teeth.
Once I know it's like I should not be, boom. Sorry, guys. Gotta go.
Oh man, those did anyone go to the fucking foam parties, the bars? I feel like we're a little too old for that at that point, right?
No,
I think Connor, you're actually the person I'm asking here right now.
No, I can't say that I've ever been to a Barstool foam party. Missed those.
It was in PCB when I was there, but I didn't make it. I was like,
oh, really?
When they came to Cincinnati, I was too old for it at that point.
On Podfathers, we actually had a couple who proposed to each other. They met at a fucking foam party, and they have since gotten married. That is a fucking – then he proposed on the podcast.
Oh, it's that guy?
Yeah, he proposed on the podcast. Shout out Elliot, man. That was a
wild story. Wait, a dude proposed on your podcast?
Yep, he proposed on the podcast. They were on vacation. He's like, oh, let's listen to Podfathers. And then on the podcast, he was like, will you marry me, blah, blah, blah. And we fucking JJ is very particular in his engagement things. He doesn't like it at Yankee Stadium, doesn't like it at
any stadium is
hard. Any stadium. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, any stadium. And then Barstool Podcast, I imagine, is right in the same realm.
No. Don't make me say mean things to you right now.
Okay, good. Thank you. I was
Don't make me be a bad guy.
This is why I love you, JJ. This is why I love you. Those foam parties, though. When you think about what went into those things, I mean, Eddie wasn't going to them because of it. Just disgusting. And these people, they're all having flashbacks, right? This is the foam
party. You have straight up, like any foam party is the worst, like, frat party. Whether you're in a frat house, you're on spring break, whatever, it's the worst of the worst, the drunkest of the drunk. So you always end up with, like, one girl who went in, like, just a bikini top or some girls are in just white beaters or whatever, and then they're just black, like, rubbing themselves and, like, thinking they're being sexy, but they're just getting, like, a lot of the foam in their mouth, and it's not good. Like, they're just not ideal. And I thought Bear and Kayla were just going to start going at it in the foam. I was like, you can't put them in the same heat. What are you talking about here? You're going to get the STDs in the foam.
And then I thought, like, Nelson, he was like, he thought it was like glue when you're a little kid and he just started eating it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good for you, pal.
He also got stuck in it somehow. Of all people, like, Nelson being the one that got stuck in it out of that entire group, it's the least shocking thing in the world.
I did think it was funny. He thought he was going to be like Rain Man and just like have this thing all figured out and then it didn't play out.
Not even close. The other thing about those foam parties is, A, the hookup factor was through the roof. You just see the amount of bodily fluids. And people were just pissing it. They treat it, you know, it's like the pool rule, like the hot tub rule. It's water, you can piss it. It's like, no, this is still foam. And there'd just be puddles every – oh, God, it's disgusting.
And it's also like a high sexual assault, like,
yes,
place. There's a lot of grabbing – touching, feeling. How do you like it?
I just want to point out that it was Jack who made that comment, not me.
Yes, Jack's the one who brought awareness to sexual assault. Connor throws people in the river.
The other part of this was it felt like it was a little bit like that game, Simon. Remember? Yeah,
yes.
Remember all the
doo-doo-doo-doo. Yeah.
I fucking hated that game. I wasn't good at it. Were you guys good at Simon? Like, I think I would be bad at this challenge.
I have a good memory, so that's one of the things. I was like, I can do the photographic type stuff.
I'm colorblind, so I would have been shot on this.
Well, that would have been my problem with that.
Yeah, and I would be like, I have no idea. Jack, it was green, then the other green.
Yeah, even watching it, I was like, those are three of the same colors.
Yeah.
Big Bop It guy.
Bop It, shake it, and pull it.
Twist it, pull it. No shake.
That's right.
I have a Bop It around here. I'm going to find it. Introduce that to the kids. That'll keep them entertained for the thing is, you play Bop It the first, like, two times, like, and then it just gets in your fucking brain. And you got to bring one of those to Chicago office. I got to just put a fucking camera with your fucking – I mean, you guys are – I can tell.
Carl will break a window. Carl will 100% break a window.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. I can tell you that.
Eddie, do in the stuff that you do over there in Chicago, in some way manipulate it so White Sox Dave is doing a skip it competition. Like, how many skip it? Yes. All right. And let's no one else talk about it aside from on this show. It'll be like our little thing, us, the listeners. and then you manipulate it somewhere else. And I'll listen every day.
I love that. All right, I'm gonna try and find one on Amazon.
Yeah, all right, we just gotta find some way where he's like, I can do 50 in a row, and now he's outside.
The seed has been planted. This is the inception right here of White Sox Dave doing a skip a challenge. I'm on eBay right now just to get an. They've changed a lot. They've changed a lot. There's a Twister Rave Skip It, $200. That's outrageous.
That's insane.
What? That thing was like $19.99 at best. What is it about that one that you just found that makes it $200?
Limited quality. Yeah. It's like NCAA 14.
I guess.
It's called Twister Rave. It's by the Twister, like the game Twister.
Does it come with drugs for a rave?
Yeah, it must, because that's the only reason to explain. Skipping rope, jump ball, 25, 42. I don't know. We're going to have to find – all right. If anyone has a skip it at their house, just contact Eddie Barstool, and we have to get this White Sox Dave thing. Okay, yeah, here I'm on Amazon. $17, $20.
There we go. So there we go.
And then there's some that are even less, like 10 bucks.
You can just – and just, Ed, you just expense that.
Perfect. That sounds good.
Expensive for the podcast is not on Barstool. Perfect. I mean, who's not going to want
to No, it's for radio. Yeah, it'll go out on Viva La Stool. Have it go out on Viva La Stool so he gets mad. Like, who put this on Viva La Stool? It's got to be Tommy Smokes.
And then, like, there's, like, content from the fights in New York, the fights in Chicago, fights on Twitter, three blogs out of it. Best $10 you ever spent.
Dave's flying to New York twice to do the skip it.
West dominates the shit out of this. There's people teaming up, and West still beats them.
I got a question for you guys. Did they really explain, like, did they say what the order was? Because they didn't really show, like, this room. Like, how did they know what was, I guess, number one? Because they didn't start all in the same room. Like, there was, like, the three rooms for the
it was just three windows. But the same view out of the window.
The same view, okay. Yeah.
I see. I thought it was like 3-3-3 or whatever it was in each one. Five in each one.
No, it was just the one window. Okay. It would start. Yeah, kind of figure out when it stopped and then when it started again.
Right.
Okay. Up halfway. It was funny. At one point, they're like, this room, it's so full of foam. And you just see, like, they were right at the edge and there was no foam there. Like, it had completely, like, sunk down. So at some point, I feel like there was a part of the challenge. We can get it. West dominates Bananas with an all-time Bananas move.
What a wily veteran move that was to just hang. He figured out a little work around there and just hung back, and everyone's like, what's he doing? And then they see.
Josh said he thought he had a – Josh thought he was just listening to a song because that's all Josh ever hears in his own brain.
Yeah. And there was a lot of theories. You know, there was that team up theory. 5-5-5. There was Nelson's theory, who was like, "Oh, I'm just going to copy everyone and they get the last five." So, credit to John for
Eddie.
Ed, it's fine. He's a nice guy. He won't mind.
His name's Eddie, Connor. Don't you start calling him Ed either. It's Eddie or Edward.
All right, sorry. Being proper. Sorry. But no, that was just so great. And some people I saw were saying, "Oh, he's cheating." It's like, no, he's not cheating. He's not doing anything. It's the producer's fault, whoever created the game that made it such that you could see the lights from that vantage point. You didn't have to go into the phone. They didn't say you couldn't stay back and just look.
The challenge has reached a point. I mean, this isn't their first second season. If they want to have it where no one can see each other's shit, they'll put the things up so they can't see each other's shit.
Right before
Nelson said he was going to copy, my wife was like, why doesn't someone just copy Wes's thing and just, you know, finish so you don't finish last or whatever, just look better? And why the fuck not? So I didn't get that either.
It's a bunch of morons.
This is the Nelson episode when Nelson's the fucking one, you know, I mean, I'm sure Nelson cheating off of people's papers. This isn't the first time he's done that. Right. But shout out to Nelson for giving that.
Nelson probably consistently copied the whole B Scantron, but he had the A Scantron for a lot of college.
Oh, definitely. He thought, you know what? He's like the smartest kid. He's like, yo, definitely going to ace this one. Gets it back. D.
He was just baffled every time. He's like, I had all the answers. What do you mean?
He never changed a single answer. He had the same test as the person next to him. It's like, Nelson, come on. Like, change a few.
Absolutely.
I'll say this about Nelson. He's a fairly good-looking dude. He's in, obviously, great shape. Nelson might want to just consider just walking away from the challenge and maybe just modeling or something. Because I mean, everything goes downhill for Nelson as soon as he opens his mouth.
I would say it's not the challenge that's the problem. Nelson just needs to never talk. Yeah. Just learn sign language.
He's very much like – I know this will offend you, Bob, because I know how much you hate him. He's very much like Dave Gettleman. Dave Gettleman, his drafts haven't been that bad with the Giants. It's just he says the dumbest shit before and after them, and everyone loses their mind off of dumb shit he says. But then when you look at the guys, like, oh, they're all pretty good guys. He hasn't really had that many misses. His free agency has sucked. And Nelson's the same way. He also, like Connor said with the modeling, did you see when he was, like, laying down with his, like, ass up in the air, like, right in front of the camera? And I was like, Nelson, what are we doing here? Does anyone remember that Trish Stratus poster, by the way, with her ass up in the air?
Yep. That was oh, yeah.
I knew that one was gonna land, that reference on this podcast. I knew you guys.
Wrestling taught me I was straight.
For me, it was the movie Ladybugs, 1992.
Isn't that about a cross-dressing kid?
Yeah, but the blonde. Oh, no, stop. God. The blonde in it. Stop it. It was the blonde. What
Connor,
was her name?
It's fine. We're also don't ask, don't tell.
Blonde, it was Rodney Dangerfield that made you feel that way?
No, stop it. You guys are a little too much. It was Vanessa Shaw.
What was that kid's name in Ladybugs? I thought he was going to like blow up.
Jonathan Brandis. He was big when we were growing up.
Jonathan Brandis. So yeah
but Vanessa Shaw. Don't come at me like she wasn't attractive. You guys are ganging up on me tonight, and I don't know why I like it.
It's because you're drunk, Connor. You drink too much.
I'm not. Connor,
it's because you're drinking tea, Connor.
Connor, this is an intervention for your drinking problem and your murdering problem. We're having an online intervention. We have to do it via Zoom because of the pandemic going on.
Oh no.
another throwback like Ladybugs. Machine Head was our first '90s throwback song of the night. Shout out Bush. I wouldn't have been my first Bush choice. I personally Glycerine's my number one. Come Down is probably two, but Machine Head
is
more of a challenge song for me as well. So, and Gavin Rossdale, is that the right name? Him and Gwen Stefani were married like forever, right?
Yeah, all when we were growing up.
Yeah. So that was an underrated power couple. Loved it. Shout out this guy, Trump. He said, I had all these songs in my Winamp. I was a huge Winamp guy back
then. Oh, I forgot about Winamp.
This probably predates Ed. All these things that are going right over Eddie's head right now.
I can remember the logo for Winamp.
Yeah.
Like the interface. Yeah.
And then you could have like a stripper, like dance to the beat and stuff like that. There was a lot of good shit you could do with Winamp back in the day.
Oh, now I'm sorry. I was like, wait, what is – I know what Winamp is, but I couldn't remember it, and I just Googled it, and the logo came up. I was like, boom.
Yeah.
You didn't download
transport it back.
You didn't download in Winamp. Like, you would put your into Winamp. Yep.
The amount of steps you would take just to get music, it took you an hour to get it off LimeWire. You had to throw it into a music player, download a music player, whole fucking thing. It's an MP3 player for – it basically was like half of iTunes for people who were too young.
Right.
There was a lot of steps we had to take to get shit going back in the day. Captain Hardo, how would you have done in this contest? Because, I mean, like JJ being colorblind would have been a real problem for him.
I would have stunk. I don't have a good memory. And honestly, like colors like that, I would have had to just been like red, green, blue, red. I don't know. I don't think I would have done well in this, to be very honest. Actually, you know what? Time out. What am I saying? I would have freaking Johnny Bananas this thing. I definitely would have figured that part out, and I would have sat in the back and got it, no problem.
So you would have also not won?
Oh, JJ's your kryptonite. Connor, when you're showing up drunk to these, JJ's just going to push you around the ring. It's just that
I'm
simple.
Sitting here eating Kit Kats, like Halloween candy size, just rattling this shit off. Someone complained on Twitter that I'm not high enough on this. I don't know what show you're listening to.
Oh man, I think this one would have been tough because the foam in the if you're not ready for that foam in the eyes, that's gonna fuck you up. And then the memory thing is kind of an X factor. I had good memory growing up, but my foam would have fucked me up.
Credit to the producers too; they make it more dramatic when they make them put on these hazmat suits. I like that. That was a nice touch.
Yep, for sure. We also found out it was a double elimination day. TJ kind of like had like serious TJ face on and tried to like scare everyone straight. It always kind of feels like the stakes are a little raised during that. We get into the vote. Excuse me. Bessie gets voted in. or I mean, oh yeah, Fetzy gets voted, and this is the group vote. Does just kind of takes it, I guess. Then comes Nelson, which was an electric performance. It was an absolutely amazing performance. Like, leading up to that, when they show him talking to the girls, and I was like, this is kind of entertaining and fun. I had no idea what was about to come. All his alliance with every single person in the house, which means he technically has alliance with nobody in the house. And once everyone recognizes that, I called him the Jameis of the challenge. He's must-watch every week because he's a goddamn disaster, yet he can sometimes be entertaining as fuck. He's also Natalya from GoldenEye because fucking poor Corey has been trying to keep him alive this whole season, and he fucked Corey over completely because even Corey wasn't safe from him. It was a fucking masterpiece in Nelsoning, and I don't know. I just love him.
I appreciate his strategy of 2 a.m. last song at the bar, just try to fuck anyone in sight to get on his team. Because that's what he did. He was just like, hey, will you be my partner? Will you be my partner? Like, he was just refusing to take no for an answer. So I appreciate that move. It's a very Nelson-type move. I was so mad. We'll get into it later. I'll save it. But he's just continues to be the dumbest player in challenge history. But I can't
he
look
away.
He
went to the girls and was just like, hey, here's a list of all the terrible stuff I've done to you. Are we good now?
Yeah.
we're good.
Sure. Yeah, but he was like, listen, I did all these things, but I apologized.
Everybody
he said, I apologize every time I get out of character.
Yeah.
It's once a week, it's just your character.
And, you know, like, while looking at the girls' faces, you could tell from our point of view that that was not going well. Like, they were just like, all right, dude, just leave. But you know he walked out of the room like, all right, I think that went well. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I totally switched him. Yeah, I got him on my side.
Not only that.
He probably called them dumb.
Yeah. You know it's a weird thing. Or you know it's Nelson just in a way when – it's all different groups within, like, or different cliques within the girl side just being like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. It's hard to piss off different girls like that.
He's the villain yet, though, because it's very evident that no one really gets too angry at him when they're going through the deliberation and they're going through the vote or whatever. And he's
talking
about
last week?
Well, no, excluding last week, but it was just funny how they're going through and saying all the people he said he had an alliance with. And like, after he rattles each name, everyone's just kind of laughing. Like, you're an idiot. You had an alliance with everybody, you moron. And they just didn't even care. They're just like, you're too stupid to get angry at.
Who did he say his one alliance was actually with?
I don't know.
Corey.
Yeah. Was it Corey? I thought he said there was someone else. And then Corey was like, I've been fucking sticking up for you this whole goddamn season, man.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Again, I don't – Nelson pisses me off because of all the dumb shit, but he does bring something to this that is very uniquely entertaining, and I have to give him credit for that. We get to the party side of things. We get a Kyle and Nelson fight, which was kind of weird. It kind of fizzled up. I love when people fight now, and it's usually the younger generation, and then they showed Bananas, and he's sitting there, could not give less of a fuck, and is like, you guys still do this? We did this like 20 years ago on the challenge. Fighting is such like a – it's such a rookie move now, for lack of a better term. You know what I mean? Like, it's the easiest way to get yourself kicked off and maybe never invited back for this free money pit you can get.
Mm.
He's also seen everything, right? Like, there's been every sort of fight that
– none of you guys are going to be CT. You're just not going to be – you're not going to stay up all night running around in circles making security chase you. Tell the motherfuckers you're going to rip their heads off all day, every way, on TV, off TV.
And no girl's going to be Camilla. The peak is gone. Like, we're still going to get some crazy and we'll get fights, but you're just not going to get the haymaker.
Out of all the new girls I've seen that I've met this season that have been come the last couple of years from the other, like the British shows or whatever, it doesn't seem like, at least not on this season, there's anyone who's like fucking crazy. Like, Ashley's the craziest person of the newer people, and you know, she's already gone, but I don't think anyone is like the Camillinator, which, man, shout out to, I don't think we'll ever see the Camillinator again, because I think
she's very pregnant right now.
And she's very pregnant right now, which she'll need the money potentially, depending on what goes on with the kid, but.
Oh, God, picture her pregnancy hormones.
In quarantine.
Oh, God.
I can't leave the house.
But still, like, posting pictures of her in, like, thongs.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, yeah, she's posting a lot of provocative photos still. Like, they're tasteful, but, you know, they're still
she's
chilly.
One trip to the delivery ward away from an OnlyFans.
Yeah, you need to have insurance or else you got to do the – I saw a tweet from – who was it? Someone had a tweet about they were joining OnlyFans. I didn't know if it was a joke or not, though. I forgot. It was someone from the cast from this season. So, I JJ, you'll be abreast on it, I'm sure, by the next episode.
Yeah, I can check.
Eddie, Kyle and Nelson fight. Is this something we saw brewing? Is this an old rivalry here, or is this just kind of a
– This is kind of it's almost like a Dumb and Dumber situation right now because, like, CT has called Kyle out on doing the same shit. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he said that before. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, Kyle, what's your problem? You don't have to make deals with everyone. So Kyle kind of does the same thing where he's like, yo, I got you, I got you, I got you. So it was kind of ironic that they were both, you know, going at it over that. But I don't think they had too much bad blood from before, at least off the top of my head.
Okay. Okay. As you say that now, I realize this would be what would be my undoing on the challenges. I would just be friends with everyone, and then I have, you know, on the lines, they'd be like, "Clem, get the fuck out of here."
Clem, I think you would be in the vein of Jenna, where everyone just kind of likes you, and you know, you don't really. And people don't really have any ill will towards you, so you just kind of sidle up to anybody you need to. I thought it was funny, though, when they did the deliberation and Wes looked Kyle straight in the eye. He's like, you do nothing for us, just very blatantly. That was very funny to me.
It was great.
Yeah. I love the honesty.
When Wes is on top, he is entertaining when he – because I think a lot of his stuff is a little sticky, right? Like, he's like, I'm the smartest guy, this and that. And I have to say, like, you have to – he's an entertainer, and he does entertain.
When Wes is at top, he's King Joffrey.
Yeah. Yes.
Like that. He's just – everyone's a peasant below him.
Yes.
That bar fight, though, my girl Melissa, that's my Melissa right
there. I'll tell you what, she can – I want her on my side of any scrap I'm in just for the hype, just of the – you're a pussy. Like, you're a pussy. Like, I just love her repeating everything, and in that accent made it 10 times funnier.
Oh, God. If you're in a fight and then someone's repeating at you, it's a fucking – you're in a fucking bubble. You're screwed. You're boxed up. I don't know Melissa, but I can already tell I like Melissa from the little I've seen of her.
Back to what Eddie was saying, that the Kyle – Nelson's thing, they just felt like they were going to get into a fight at some point in the last few seasons. Like, they're too similar, kind of like what Eddie said, where it was only a matter of time before one of them just said something stupid that pissed the other one off, and it's for no reason whatsoever. Like, it was just such a – we were going to have an unnecessary fight between those two at some point in their career.
So would you say Kyle is like a Nelson, just who doesn't speak as much, or is smart enough to know, like, I'm not going to start rambling and shoot myself in the foot. Okay. We get Big T later on, who was kind of the tease of getting hurt this week, just starts bleeding out of her foot. Did she like fall off the bed or something like that?
Piece of furniture below the top bunk that I think she just kind of landed on wrong, and it split her toe wide open. And obviously, as we all know, when you've been drinking, the blood flows a lot faster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if any, that's probably like their biggest concern. They're like, no sharp edges in this house, or we're going to lose like an entire cast one day. Because it's all just like a fucking paper cut will kill anyone in this house, the amount of booze you pump into them.
It's easier to drain a 20-something-year-old's body when they're walking home from the bar if they're already drunk, is what Connor's trying to say. Or he throws them in the river.
Unbelievable.
I need these Hoboken bars to open back up to get my thirst quenched. I'm not talking about the booze.
Yes.
He would call it a thirst. He would. I have a thirst.
Did you guys pick up when she like flipped out, Big T, when they said, we got to get fresh cotton pads? She's like, fresh cotton pads? Like, that was the thing that put her over the edge.
I mean, bananas lost it.
Yeah, as far as she was concerned, Ed, you're right. She almost lost a foot.
Am I going to lose a foot over this? If you're being told you're going to a Czech hospital, that's where you're like, everything kind of, you hit the brakes in your head, like, oh, fuck.
No, the scariest thing is Jenny without pants on just deadlifting you into the car.
My wife goes, hit rewind. This is what I was talking about. She's been telling me about Jenny. She's like, you got to see her when she's like in her workout gear. It's fucking Saquon Barkley. Yeah. She has the quad. She's Saquon. It's incredible. So Jenny's not losing anytime soon in my mind. She is fucking
I want to see something in the next few weeks where Jenny really shows out and shows what she's made of.
Well, yeah, dude, I hope she doesn't go on cruise control with the Red Skull. That's the one thing that concerns me as a watcher.
Do you think T's gonna go home?
No, because you said there's what, 3 stitches.
Is that what they said?
I think she said 3 stitches.
Oh yeah, then you're good.
I was actually wondering. I said, if this was a girls' elimination, would she have been kind of disqualified because she wouldn't have been able to go? So I'm happy right. that there's at least a couple of days of healing. Do you have anyone like that? Are there any of you guys like that? Or if you see blood, you ever got a little woozy? Or I've never seen anyone like that, but I know there's probably some people.
No. Really.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, no, it's not. No.
Yeah, like, I'm not dying for it, but.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That, I do remember, like, when I was a kid and you had, like, a scrape and you, like, looked down, like, oh, fuck, I hope there's not blood. Oh, but, like, that's, like, 6 years old, yeah. Which I have now with my daughter. She came in today, fell off her bike, and I was like, oh, fuck, please don't be blood. And thank God there wasn't. But she was walking around like Willis Reed the entire time. Like, you're fine. Shut the fuck up. I turned on Mario Kart. She was running around the house. Jay Allen, 1868. Need some drunken self-inflicted injury stories from the gang tonight. Give me your best, most embarrassing, funniest, whatever you want to call it, drunk injuries, inflicted injury on yourself, Connor. So not anyone you killed when you were drunk, but your own injuries. JJ, do you have anything good? I feel like you probably are like picking through a few right now from that frat house we've been talking about.
Not even the frat house. When I was a senior in high school, I came home from – it was like the winter, so it was dark early. I came home from school. I had been drinking right after school, like outside of school, and it was already dark and my parents were out at like happy hour. So I was like, oh, hey, I'm just, you know, gonna run in the house and then go out. And I'll be home at like midnight. But I was drunk already and I ran into my buddies and I drank with them a little bit before I went home. And I went in my house, my sister's watching my brother and my parents are still out there about to be home. And I went to go grab like a bottle of 151 or something that I had in my room.
151? You
see? Yeah. We all kept 151 like on deck in our like rooms. We all hid it. So we had it all over because we lived on an island. So it was at some point you're going to be somewhere on the island. Like there'll be 151 somewhere break in case of emergency. And I came in, I locked the door to my house and I lived on a second floor apartment. And I was just too drunk to unlock the door. And I'm like 17 years old. I just couldn't unlock the door to get out of my house. Mm-hmm. And my sister is, I don't know, like 13 and just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, so I go, all right, I got this. I'm going to go out the back window. And then there was like a small roof. And I thought I would jump off and do like a superhero landing. Instead, I just jumped and just hit the ground like a sack of blood. I broke every blood vessel in both of my heels.
Oh. So
I had to walk around pigeon-toed for like 2 weeks.
Oh, senior year of high school too.
Oh,
yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, and like getting ready for like senior year of baseball and everything, like going to workouts, being like, I can't run. I can lift, and that's it.
Papa JJ must have been thrilled with that one too.
So here's the thing, I did it. And I got up and I was hammered. So I just went on with my night. Like, oh, this kind of hurts, but like nothing's broken till the next morning. And then I just told my parents, I was like, oh, I was chasing my friend Jason. And I jumped over a bike rack to like catch him. And I don't know, I just like landed weird. And my parents just looked at me like, all right, you could say the R word back then. Yeah. It was just like, all right, like. And we never talked about it again. I still get pain. Yeah.
Well, I know your dad's a listener, so he's probably finding out about it right now. I know he watches his challenge and listens to our podcast. Eddie, do you have anything good for us?
Nah, I'm a pretty stoic drunk. I got nothing that really comes to mind off the top of my head.
Okay. Cons, other than killing people, other than anything to yourself.
One time we were in Iraq and we were playing hacky sack with a grenade. Wasted off some Iraqi toilet wine.
No, I guess junior year of college, my buddies down at Iona College every year, they threw this first Saturday in May was always this big party called Springstock. And it actually got pretty big to the point where you know, the last two or three years, they were selling tickets, and there was like a few thousand people that would show up to this day party, and it was just a great time. And the one year the venue was right, the park wherever we had it was right on the Long Island Sound. So $100 was enough for the first weekend of May to get me to swim in the Long Island Sound. So I got down to like my boxers, and I'm like going to like get into the Long Island Sound. Meanwhile, there's like rocks that
it's you're not brackish water. I mean, that's the water I grew up swimming in.
Yeah. And so like, I'm not realizing it, 'cause I'm, you know, however many deep, I'm like cutting the shit out of my feet as I'm walking on these rocks. I go swim. I come back. I get my $100. I wake up the next morning. My socks are all bloody. My shoes are all bloody. I'm like, what is going on? And I look, and my feet are just scraped to shit. And then I had like workouts that following week. I had to like have my feet all taped up. So that was pretty stupid, 'cause I could also, you know, swimming while drunk, not the most advisable thing to do, as we found in, with the folks here in Hoboken.
Reeves, that counts.
Nothing really, no injuries, nothing more than like a couple scratches and sprains, twisted ankles, but nothing extreme.
Nothing for me really either. I was playing a Miss Pac-Man once at one of my friend's weddings, and I dropped a fucking rocks glass 2 inches onto the controller, hits it at the perfect point, slices my fucking pinky, almost comes off, and I just have blood squirting like out of a fucking movie everywhere. Yeah, it was not good. If I was Big T, I would have fucking passed out and died right on the spot. Went to a fucking emergency room at 2 a.m. Doctor probably was like, fucking idiot, sews it up. And again, I was probably had about the same kind of thickness of blood as these idiots do. And I still don't have feeling in my pinky to this day. So that's kind of a bummer. And I did have a fucked up toe the night of my wedding, because my wife and I, we went around, we were drinking with our friends, going to everyone's room, just had partying. And then I'm coming back with a bloody toe. My wife locked me out of the room by mistake. She deadbolted the door shut, couldn't get into my room. So on my own wedding night, I slept outside the wedding suite, fucking barefoot, bleeding. And at like 5:30 morning.
That's that animal that's inside.
I miss him. I miss him so much. And that was probably his last night, ironically. The night
especially
of the
you wearing a Ben McAdoo jacket, too.
Yo, you know what's one that I've done more recently? This is a little bit more of like a grown-up idiot move. You've had however many glasses of wine, and you go to cut some more cheese, and the knife, the little cheese knife, is the wrong way, and you push down, but it's actually the blade of the knife, and you cut your finger. That's a
totally relatable. Totally relatable.
Connor, Large doesn't listen to this. You're not impressing him right now. Trust me.
You guys are all wine and cheese guys.
Let me tell you, there's nothing better than getting a good Eddie laugh out of a story. It makes my fucking night.
When he cocks the head back and does it, it's even better.
You're like, I got it. Go to the tribunal. Boy Jordan asks to go in, which is very interesting. Bear is thrown in there as well. Josh is like, I can't believe West didn't do it. And again, I don't think West gives a flying fuck about Josh. You guys know more than I do. I don't know the whole background of this whole rivalry, but it honestly seems like West couldn't give a fuck.
There is none. There is no rivalry. Josh is just like trying to insert himself in it. So like, I'm going to send them both in next time. What do you mean you're going to send them both in? Dude, you're not going to win. You suck.
It feels like the civil conflict with UConn and South Florida or Central Florida. It's like, there is no fucking rivalry here. What do you guys
know? It's more like Kentucky Tennessee basketball, where Josh is Tennessee and he's like, no, we're Kentucky's rival. Yeah. Kentucky's like, no, you're not Louisville. You're not even
we have
Florida.
We like six other people, right. Ahead of you.
That's kind of how it is, where because Josh thinks it's 100% in, and Wes is like, I don't even know if you're on the season.
Go into the elimination, and so they're deciding who to throw in, and Banana said it. I think West might have said it actually. Jordan asked to go in. They knew they were going to probably throw him in anyway, but like West said, like, he does act like a prick a lot, right? And I think that was kind of the thing that sealed it there, and I think he wanted to go in before he saw that it was the poll, whatever you want to call it.
But they could have threw him in against Nelson.
And that was the other side of it, where they throw him into the fucking monster.
But if you're going to send a guy in, send him in.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. But, like, if they really felt bad about it, they could have been like, all right, well, we're going to send him in. but against the weaker of the two guys.
They could have just sent anyone else in. Like, you're trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
He's a tough competitor. Smart.
Yeah.
It broke perfect for them. They could say U.S. to go in. They're going to eliminate him or Fessy from the final. Even though Fessy is fucking big, they'd much rather, I imagine, have Jordan. He's done it before. He's could have done it. And if we said it, people were saying it on the Twitter too. If he had fucking won that goddamn matchup, it would have been, you know, Eddie already has him in the Hall of Fame. We're starting to a GOAT status on this fucking guy because that would have been fucking incredible.
He probably would have beat, like, almost anyone else there.
Yeah.
Because that guy's just a house.
Who did he beat? It was Josh in the tug of war or Zach in the tug of war? Josh?
Josh. Zach in the sledgehammer.
Right there, sledgehammer, yeah.
Jesus, that's fuck. This would have been a little. This is Jordan coming back with 45 on against Shaq and Penny, and the Browns like, all right, you know, I'll give you a pass for this one. So he obviously just gets completely outmatched. He separates his shoulder, does something. I mean, he was like, you could tell as soon as he fell before they came back, I was like, oh no, I've seen that football injury enough times. That's going to be something there. So it was tough to see.
Yeah, you could really tell when he couldn't even lift his hand to grip the stick there. You knew something was very, very bad.
Yeah.
TJ didn't, though. TJ's just like, fucking suck it up and get in here.
Yeah. Because Josh, what did he say? Jordan, you're going to have to.
You're going to have to get going.
You have to like pick it up here. Yeah. It's like, oh come on, Teach. I know you're like Mr. No Quitter guy. The guy's like, ugh, like just trying to lift his arm like above his belly button.
Obviously Jordan's, you know, disadvantage. He admittedly said so with one hand, obviously. But this I mean, as much as it is about grip, there's a lot more level playing field with grip. It helps if you can just get the other person into a awkward position to where you make them force them to use their thumbs. So if he had been able to get homeboy on the ground there, maybe gotten him into a weird position. It wasn't completely out of the realm, is what I'm saying. That he
the only way Jordan could win is if he would get it in the first like 5 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Once it became a like, I don't know, I've got a second hand. Mm-hmm. He was very outmatched.
Yes, unfortunately.
The biggest compliment I can give Jordan is that when he's like, you know, I've been, you know, obviously been thinking about it, my strategy. I was like, oh. He can definitely win this, which I wouldn't have thought about if this was his first season on there. And that's the kind of respect I have for him. I was like, I honestly think it's like 50-50. Like you could tell me Jordan would win. I wouldn't have been surprised at all. So credit to him. It really, that was a shitty break. But again, without Tori there, again, the fucking haircut. I just had enough of that shit. I didn't want to see that goddamn haircut every single week. I had enough of it. Then we got Nelson versus Bear. And this was tough. This was two entertaining guys. Bear is a hell of a lot more likable than Nelson, but Nelson has been bringing a lot of the entertainment to us the last few weeks. My wife reminded me of this too. The whole thing with Corey. Remember when Nelson screwed Corey and Shane in that triple threat match that they had? That was like, I mean, it was the last time we watched, Connor. It was probably four or five years ago.
Shane and the Gals.
The Shane and the Gals one. So the whole thing with Nelson being kind of and him and Corey were an alliance back then too. Nelson fucking over Corey is a thing that's still to this day. I would almost feel like obviously it's a physical match. I feel like he also just outwitted him too because he just went down and kind of twisted it. It's kind of a tough look for Bear when Nelson outwits you.
Well, Bear sucks. Like Bear's not a good competitor.
He's not terrible,
though. Right? But like I'm saying, like he's not some like that was probably like Nelson was. Definitely the favorite in that. Yeah,
Bear was a dog for sure, but yeah. Bear, like, it wouldn't have surprised me if Bear somehow pulled it out. But
no, like, it probably would have been, like, Nelson minus 140.
Yeah.
Bear just has the demeanor, like, hey, I'm just happy to be here. So right. I'm going to work hard and try hard. But, you know, if I go home, those are the breaks.
Yeah, that, like, and that's also just not a good – Bear is a little bit more like Jenna, where, like, the endurance I think he would be better in, something like the – just smash it into the wheelbarrow and do that versus the physical side of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For all the shit we give Nelson, he is actually decent at eliminations and stuff. Like he does this. He's just so goddamn dumb. People, like someone said, everyone is playing chess. He's playing tic-tac-toe. It's like, it's fucking, it's not even fair sometimes, but he can compete on a physical level. Kayla loses the guy she blew up her relationship with. Her boyfriend at home, which I guess she bounced to someone else, JJ said, so it's a whole other thing.
But apparently, like, she goes when she gets eliminated, like, she just goes to him instead of going home.
going home. That's an outrageous move, but hey, God bless. Keep it going, Kayla. We're a pro Kayla podcast. I've said it in the past. We had her there. We loved her. She was a great time. Next on, we get looks like a Swaggy C and a Josh fight that kind of breaks out, and I don't know. Mm. Again, two youngins fighting. We'll see.
You're gonna be fired up for that. You're Swaggy Hive.
The Swaley Hive is gonna be hot that night towards Josh, so he better have his mentions. He better just like put the Twitter down because he's gonna be getting stung left and right.
Swaggy just seems a little too big for his britches, from what I can tell. I mean, has he been in past seasons, Ed?
No, this is first one. But I mean, for Josh to stand like on that, on the whatever the tower, what they watch down from, he's like, I'm rallying everyone. This is what he said.
Oh yeah, that was great.
And in the preview, he's like, dude, don't sit next to me. He's like, dude, come on, like take it easy.
That was outrageous. Is that a Josh move? Like the fucking trying to rally, like he thinks he's fucking Braveheart or something like that at the top.
Yeah.
That was a tough thing to see. The tunnel, it looks like we have a tunnel with water, and I thought they said something about rats. If they put these fuckers in a tunnel with cold water and rats, that scratches my itch of seeing these guys suffer, especially if it's not even a final. I'm excited for that. I feel like we're getting a little raw again with the challenges. We'll see how that goes. MVP, LVP, JJ, MVP.
Oh, I think my MVP is Wes, because he's just like he surprised me. You know, I never thought this allegiance would go on this long. Mm-mm. Eventually, they have to turn on each other. It's just a matter of when. I guess he's my MVP. I think my LVP is Kayla. Like, you threw away your relationship, and this guy went home. Like, right after, you were like, I'm just – let's make sure he's here long enough to just get a lot of us making out. It wasn't just – let's make sure it wasn't just a one-time I was drunk thing. Get enough to air of me making a decision.
Where I can't go back to him and I have to just stay in Europe for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, where I'm, the upcoming I'm a European pandemic. Citizen now.
I do feel like the hot air balloon is a European tattoo. That's much more European than like American. Is that fair to say? The hot air balloon she has on her arm?
Oh yeah.
It's from her Real World season.
It is.
Oh, they got it from the real, that was part, because I remember that was like the logo or whatever, right? That was part
of it. So that season it was Go Big or Go Home. They had them do challenges if they want to stay in the house. And that was one of the challenges, is to go in a hot air balloon. So she got it.
She's scared of heights, if I remember correctly, right? Like, that was the thing. Or somebody that she was with was scared of height. They always made them do something that they were somewhat
correct
like, terrified of.
That was a flop of a theme. Like, everyone did the challenges. No one, like, they didn't make them crazy enough, or there was something, because no one really went home from them.
Or it was like, call your dad. I remember, like, that was one of the – there was, like, a strained relationship. It was like, if you don't call your dad – you're going
and then
home.
One of them, like, they failed, and it's like, all right, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then they let the person stay. It's like, well.
It was like a house vote or something, right?
The fuck are we doing here?
Yeah. That was a pretty decent cast, though, because it had had Kayla, obviously. I know it had our boy Ammo. It had, DeLon.
Pulling up the cast right now.
Yeah, it had the guy they called, like, a gypsy or something like that. He was kind of an X-Factor.
Dion.
They had Dean. They had CJ, Kim. Dylan, Jenna, Kayla, and Sabrina.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, not too much. That was, like, one of the last ones, if not the last one, before Real World kind of just started doing its own thing. So, Kayla, LVP, I could live with that. Eddie, who you got?
In a shocking turn of events, I got to give the MVP to Nelson. It was – and not even because he won, but because, like, I mean, if you're just so bad and so stupid that you're that entertaining, like, I got to just tip my hat to you. So, Nelson was just that bad and promises and everything. So, Nelson gets an honorable mention of Fessy, though. We didn't talk about him much, but I mean, he's a beast. He's kind of got like a build, and his performance kind of reminds me of Landon a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lofty comparison, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Landon might be the GOAT.
Yeah, Landon's unreal. But I don't know. I'm getting vibes early, but it's still very, 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 very early. My LVP is, honestly, I got to give it to the elimination. I mean, that's a legendary elimination, and it just wasn't good. Like, like 2-0, 2-0. Like, I don't.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. It was very uneventful. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd like to see a little more, like maybe like a shoulder thrown into somebody's chin, a little more blood, maybe a really fierce throw.
Yeah, even, I think the last one they did that. I don't know if you guys remember. Did you guys see Joss versus Derek Kaczynski?
Yeah,
it was incredible. It went on like long as fuck. They were both bloody. Like that's like that's a standard now, you know. So
that's what I want to see when that is played.
The ring and the pole are always those are some good ones. Someone actually just said Nelson is now 8-1 in eliminations, record all time high.
Wow,
that's not surprising.
No, I mean you have to go in eliminations a lot, and I think he had a year where he was just going in and just winning. Yeah. And I mean again, it's Nelson's mouth is, and again the he makes the vote so much more entertaining because you don't know what the fuck he's going to say next. So I have bated breath every single time. Mm-hmm. Cons, who you got MVP, LVP?
MVP is TJ when his acting skills and his dramatic reading comes out. At one point he was like, two, you're going home. Dramatic pause. But two of you are getting red skulls. And he really delivers it very well. So my MVP was TJ for that. And then conversely, LVP – Jordan, the dramatics, and now that we see he was whatever show that was in, Blackfish or whatever, it seems like he's trying out to be, you know, it's like an audition every time he's in a confessional with the dramatics and the tears, and he's like, you know, if you have a handicap, don't give up. I was like,
he's done that speech before.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, how many times are you going to use that when you get sent home because of something that happens? So. Credit to him for all he's accomplished in his life, you know, albeit with, you know, one less hand. But that acting was terrible.
Lots of tears. That was our final Simple Jack moment. That was the tears and everything coming out. It was over. It almost felt like him and Tori couldn't be apart too long. It just, he was going to fade away sooner or later without her. So it kind of makes sense.
Honorable mention MVP was Maddie's faux fur coat that she wore to the elimination. That was just a ridiculous look to see it in an elimination, full-length fur coat.
Riggs, who you got?
So I was thinking Fessy for MVP, but I think I'm going to go Melissa. We talked about it a little bit earlier. She solidified herself as somebody I want in my corner. Just her actions of just – she was a little like poodle, like just you walk by, it just barks nonstop at you. That's what I want out of Melissa.
Your ass back on Dr. Phil, Nelson.
I couldn't get enough of that one. I forgot about that line.
That was a great line. That was a great line.
So good. Because she put like, she threw more gas on that fire. Like it was calming down and then she chirped a little bit and it just escalated again. So I'm giving that to Melissa. My LVP. I don't know if it's the producers. I'm giving it to everybody who hasn't put the 90s playlist somewhere for us to listen to yet. Because we talk about how great the season is, and we just need it. I need somebody – like I'll put it together. Somebody just give me the list of songs we've had, and I'll put it on Spotify, for God's sake.
That's a fair question. I tagged MTV The Challenge today asking for it, so we'll see if we can get it sent to us. I know they follow us. So
also, LVP YouTube, because I tried to do a wake-up with TRL for tomorrow when we were waiting to start this after tearing corn on tonight's episode, because that's a TRL legend. They don't have full episodes on there anymore.
Really?
Well, and just one more thing. I don't know. Ed, I know you saw it when Erica tweeted about the schedule that MTV has, and Eddie explained why it is that way, and I understand that, but it's just such a shame. They should just figure something out because there's just so much good programming they can be putting on. Alas.
And like we say, kind of with this music too, people are like, let's get TRL or let's get any of that stuff, and I don't know how the music works or any of the production companies, like Eddie said. MTV Classic, for those that don't know it, it's on, I know it's on at least DirecTV. It's like 333. I think it's 335. Is it 330? It's right around there.
335.
We used to in college we had MTV Hits and MTV Jams, and like that's what you throw on when you came back from the bar. Like you brought someone back, you saw an MTV Hits and just let that rock.
And now it's
336, Clem.
336 on DirecTV. I don't know what other cable networks have it or whatever.
I'm looking right now on Fios. It seems as though MTV has MTV Live, which is just music videos, which that's a step up in the right direction.
You'll take it. Yeah, you're definitely going to take it for sure. MTV Classic Files 218. Check that one out. Anyway, we do this. We'll have like a, we'll do like Saturday night Zooms or whatever, get loaded with our friends, and we just kind of throw it on in the background, and then like Wonderwall plays. You'll get some fucking Bone Thugs.
Oh, wow. You know why I didn't know this channel existed? Because it's not in HD. So I usually don't search the non-HD channel. Yeah. So I would never have came across it. But that makes sense because obviously if we're putting these shows from this time period, there was no HD.
And some of those videos look funky back with the old school like filming and stuff like that, which takes me into my MVP, the music guy, whoever the producer, the director, whatever you want to call it. We had Machine Head. We had Korn, Freak on a Leash, which I always loved. I wasn't a boy band fan. I didn't embrace boy bands until probably college. I was always very hardo about them, didn't like them. And I always just loved the fucking freaks of all the Korn fans fucking getting into that top three. And you never knew it was going to be NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, or Korn. And it would change every fucking day. I don't know if like they rigged the polls to keep people around and the viewers on, but I always loved how Korn was like the X factor that got thrown in the mix, especially once the song got retired. Oh, God damn, I miss MTV back when it was MTV. And just now, basically, I mean, it's ridiculousness. It's RTV. It's fucking ridiculous.
Like, in our age, in high school, going to high school in New York City, TRL was wild. Because if NSYNC was going to be there, it was just like, oh, every class that you went to, maybe 10 girls were missing. They were just in Times Square. Like, there were always big things going on. Yeah, people were just down in Times Square.
At what age, more or less, was it cool basically for everyone to just be riding the subway themselves growing up in the city?
So if you like grew up in Manhattan,
that's like 6 years old.
It's like six, yeah. Growing up like in the Bronx, it was probably like high school. Like there would be the occasional bus. So like I could go from City Island to Co-op City, where there was a movie theater at Bay Plaza and like a couple Puerto Rican girls that like came over to our elementary school. So we were like, oh, we go see Fast and the Furious, you know, try to get some kisses, touch a boob, whatever. And then high school, it's just like you go to school somewhere. If you go in the city, if you don't go to like Salesian or maybe Fordham Prep or Iona, where parents will drive you, like, yeah, you're just taking the bus and the subway at like 14.
Okay. Makes sense. So I mean, like, yeah, freshman year, high school, sophomore year, it's no skin off anyone's nose for a girl to take the subway down to Times Square with her pals.
No, because we all had Metro cards for free.
Oh,
Yeah. Oh, so when you go to, I would assume it's still the same. You get a Metro card that's good for 3 swipes a day, plus transfers. Wow. So you can go like to school. I'll get you all the way there with transfers. That's one. You can go somewhere else after school and then go home.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
all right. Actually, let's keep it in the fucking TRL theme. All right. We'll go across the board here. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? What were you growing up? Bob, we'll start with you.
I lean Backstreet Boys.
Fair enough. Cons?
NSYNC, but now recently I've heard discussions how Backstreet had more bangers. So yeah, I feel like, but I'm saying
the Backstreet Boys in a 5th grade talent show. We nailed it.
Eddie, were you too young for the Backstreet Boys, you fucking baby?
I was like, I forget how old I was. I was young, but that's the first concert I ever went to. It was Backstreet Boys.
What? That's a wild first concert.
Wild. I have 2 older sisters, so you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So I was pretty young. I had to be no older than like 8 or 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that makes sense because they were big when I'm 3-4 years older than you. So they were big when I was like 12, 13.
Yeah, so I was like 8. I was very young. But I think NSYNC's better, to be honest with you.
Man, that's fair. Your sisters would probably hold a grudge on you if they heard that. Like my wife is diehard Backstreet Boys. She's been to their concerts like at least like fucking 50 times. She's met them. She's met them like 10 times, gotten their autographs. And she's still like, if she meets them as a grown-ass woman, she's like, oh my God, I'm going to meet them. Like, you've met them at 10. Did you get, like, were you the typical younger brother who, like, they put makeup on you and made you dress up? You were, like, fucking looking like Buzz Lightyear at the tea party and stuff like that?
None of that shit, but they pulled their pranks. They did, like, a fucking a figure-it-out prank on me once, and, like, my dad, like, never lets me live it down. You know, she'll figure it out.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Like the fucking talent was they said they eat cereal out of my brother's chest bowl, and so they fuck. I laughed for some reason. They didn't eat it, but like they poured cereal and like and milk into my. It was pretty fucking weird, but that's like that was the extent of like the weirdness.
And Big Eddie doesn't let you live with that. He just brings it up whenever he sees it.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, I don't know. I was a kid.
JJ, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
So I was Backstreet Boys, but Justin Timberlake overall.
Yeah. That's a correct.
That's a fair point. I think I'm probably NSYNC, but I was such a heart over so long. But I think NSYNC Girlfriend Remix with Nelly, that's my number one of all those songs. So I think I have to lean NSYNC. And again, Justin Timberlake, it's almost unfair. Mm-hmm. And LVP for me was, I guess, Josh. Whenever you think there's a rivalry and there's not a rivalry, it's just an awful look for you. So that's just Josh. I can tell Josh is going to be one of these guys that's going to probably win his fair share of LVPs the more I watch his show.
This is not an LVP move by any stretch, but did any of you catch when Clem said on the Twitter?
No. I didn't hear that.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said it about like 10 minutes ago. You said on the Twitter like a true old.
It's because I meant on like the No Quitters Twitter. But
okay. All you said was on the Twitter.
Speaking of which, we have some reviews. Actually, this is from on the iTunes. Everyone subscribe, rate 5 stars, all that stuff. Two best, let's see, the best review of this week. I will go to this one. You honestly don't even have to watch a challenge to find this podcast hilarious. It's amazing. Unlike Connor's arm wrestling performance against Corey. Shout out JDM0908. So 1998 Broncos, incredible fucking username on iTunes. With quarantine going, this is basically SportsCenter with comedy. SportsCenter back in the day. These kids don't know. This shit, Broncos, man. That shit, that is some of the best stand-up you get. Kilborn. I mean, Craig Kilborn was fucking incredible back in his day. Obviously, Eisen, Stuart Scott.
I don't even think we didn't fully appreciate what we had when we had it.
Even just the it's Stuart Scott, Van Pelt together.
And Van Pelt, yeah, exactly. Just crazy, crazy shit.
You would watch it like a Saturday morning, you'd watch it like two, sometimes even three times through, and it's like same highlights. You already know them, but you just kept watching.
You think that was good? Remember when we could leave our houses?
God damn it. Shit. Well, everyone leave a review, best review. Either like leave reviews or keep the songs going, because this fucking, apparently they're taking requests still at MTV. So I kind of want to see what other requests we have out there. Rate for us on No Quitters on iTunes or Spotify. I don't know if you can rate it Spotify, but that's what you guys listen to. And as always, don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.